There are only a few days left before the end of 2025. And at Wat Mak Chan, we have been organizing these Dhamma Zoom sessions throughout the year. And since the beginning of spreading the Dhamma through this Zoom program, it's now been 10 years, starting from 2014. This coming Friday will be the 537th session. All of us have been studying the Dhamma, the teachings of the supremely enlightened Buddha, for a continuous period of time. This is the creation of merit and the accumulation of great wholesome deeds. There has been diligence and effort, especially from the whole team that organizes and works behind the scenes of this undertaking. Each center also needs to have staff to take care of things and to set up the equipment to connect together. This can be regarded as an act of sacrifice, determination, and regular study of the Dhamma. It is indeed difficult, but we've been able to continue doing it consistently up to the present day. Listening to the Dhamma is called Dhamma Sawana. Listening to the Dhamma makes the mind bright and clear. Therefore, it is said to be a blessing, called Kalena Dhamma Sawanang Etang Mangala Mutamang. Listening to the Dhamma at the proper time is the highest blessing, and it is included among the 38 blessings. A blessing is something good and noble, something elevated, which enables us to understand the correct principles for living life. It is indeed a great merit. Because when one listens to Dhamma with intention and wisdom, the mind naturally becomes purified and bright. When we reflect and contemplate in this way, the mind inclines towards right thinking, right action, and right speech. This places us on the path that the Buddha proclaimed as the Noble Eightfold Path. And when we look at the cycle of birth and death of the mind, we see that we have been born through countless existences and countless lifetimes. But if we do not deeply understand the Dhamma, this mind will have to continue wandering in the cycle of birth and death in the future. The Blessed Teacher, having contemplated with wisdom, saw that it has no end. When there are defilements, there is the creation of karma. When there is the result of karma, those results give rise to defilements again. It keeps revolving in this way. This is called vata, the cycle. We can see that we humans, from the moment we are born, with a sense of self and possessions, study, learn to read and write, in order to gain the wisdom needed to seek the four requisites and sustain our lives. As we grow up, we have families, children, and grandchildren. Some people achieve success in life and in their careers, but in the end, every person and every life must leave this world. We can see that this has been the natural course from the time of our grandparents to our parents' generation and down to our generation. It all follows the same path. But those who are wise already know that this is how it is. Life exists in impermanence. When we receive the teachings in which the Buddha taught us not to be heedless, we therefore strive to diligently create goodness, beginning with offering alms, paying homage to the Buddha, and undertaking the precepts. Listening to the Dhamma also has very great benefits. Wisdom arises, knowledge arises, and understanding arises. Some matters we may never have heard before, but when we listen to the Dhamma, we feel that it's something good, and our understanding of matters we have heard before becomes clearer. Naturally, the human mind has doubts about various things, and we're able to alleviate those doubts. And it is natural that when we listen with a calm mind, the mind becomes bright and clear, and our wrong views gradually diminish, giving rise to right view. At times we may be stingy or miserly, but after listening to the Dhamma, understanding arises and a sense of generosity develops. We keep the 5 precepts and can add on the 8 precepts, and faith increases. This is the result of listening to the Dhamma and studying the Dhamma. Raising and elevating our mind, this is called bhavana, mental cultivation. Therefore, Buddhists have minds inclined towards giving. Giving both material alms and the giving of forgiveness. Buddhists all over the world truly have great faith. If there were no giving, donations, making merit by offering alms and offering the 4 requisites, then the religion would find it very difficult to continue because it would lack support. The Sangha would also find it difficult to survive. We see this even more clearly when going overseas. In some cities, monks go on alms round, and in those cities there are hundreds of households of local residents. But those who have faith and come to offer alms may only be 1 family, or perhaps just 2 families. Walking on alms round for an hour is like that. After many months and many years, there are still not many people offering alms. So they have to arrange a food offering roster, deciding which faithful people on a given day will bring food to offer to the Sangha at the monastery. They travel to come, and sometimes the distance is quite far, 2.5 hours in some cases, 1.5 hours in others. If on some days the lay supporters forget, then the monks may not get to eat at all. How come? Because the faith, belief, and devotion of Buddhist communities abroad in some communities are still quite limited. But at times there are also communities that are not Buddhist, yet they have faith, seeing monks standing near supermarkets. When the monks are walking, people come to ask what they need. And the monks have written something down on a paper they put on their alms bowls. And they read that the monks only need food in order to live. When the people have faith and come to understand this, then some go to buy food at the supermarket and offer it into the alms bowls. This is something to be proud of, that giving and donating, when there is understanding, people are able to recognize its value as well. But if monks simply keep walking on, people won't understand. So they must be stopping so that people can learn and understand what is actually needed. Those who have faith sometimes drive and bring offerings to the monastery as well. When they have the opportunity and the time, then people do that. You see, it's not easy. It's really not easy. And when Venerable Ajahn Chah went to England for the first time, in that country, going on alms round was very difficult, because it appeared as if one were begging, which was against the law. But Ajahn Chah was not afraid, and still went on alms round. The police invited him to the police station as well, and he explained the situation, and his disciples translated it into English. Later, they came to understand the meaning, that we're not going begging, but we're practicing in accordance with the principles of Buddhism. And from that time onward, monks in England were able to go an alms round, and even in European countries, alms round became possible. This was due to the courage of the Venerable Ajahn Chah, who brought the Dhamma principles and monastic practices of the forest tradition to be spread in England and throughout Europe. Sometimes people saw the monks going on alms round, invited them to converse, and then offered land to establish a monastery, such as Chithurst Monastery, the first monastery in England, for example. There came to be meetings between those who carried the duty of studying and observing the discipline and practices taught by the Buddha and those who had faith. They came together and met one another. This enabled the Buddha's dispensation to become firmly established. Why is that? Because it must rely on faith. Having monasteries, dwellings, and the Buddhist people arise. Those who come to study the Dhamma then give rise to Dhamma in their hearts at a higher level, and they are both on the side of givers and receivers, that is, the community of monks and the faithful lay supporters. Therefore, both the practice of giving and the observance of precepts are included in the principle of bhavana, training the mind to be peaceful. When the mind becomes peaceful, it naturally becomes gentle and humble towards elders. When we have made merit, we also share and dedicate that merit to all sentient beings, so that they too may receive this merit. In this way, our mind gradually becomes more elevated, because we practice sharing. For in this world, there is mostly excessive greed. When each person is filled only with lobha, greed, then there is chaos. At the national level, there's competing for resources, which leads to the outbreak of wars. But if there is sharing, people can live together. There's no need to compete, no need to fight over resources. There is sharing with one another and having loving kindness towards one another. Each person loves themselves, and in the same way that we love ourselves, we should love others. Then there won't be harming of one another, and this becomes sila, moral conduct. And when we see that the mind is restless and full of defilements, then we must train in concentration and cultivate meditation. When there is goodness, we share it. If everyone tries to practice in this way, the world can live together in harmony. But if this is not done, damage arises and various disasters follow, because people do not stop. Wars occur, and these become great calamities. Therefore, both the giver and the receiver must possess virtue. The receiver should not merely receive in a way that takes advantage. One must cultivate goodness, create merit, accumulate wholesome qualities in the heart, and uphold moral conduct. The one who gives already gives with sacrifice. The wealth that is obtained is not easy to come by. It involves hardships, both physically and mentally, exhaustion and fatigue. Like farmers who work the fields, obtaining rice and food to offer into the alms bowl is not easy. It involves suffering and hardship, enduring sun and rain, cultivating and ploughing the land. So in the morning, when one offers alms, and upon seeing monks walking alms round, one offers alms with humility and with respect, each according to one's own way. As for monks, before going out to receive alms, they must have already cultivated mental development, making the mind bright and clear so as to be like a fertile field of merit for the world. When lay people offer alms, it's like planting rice in a field with rich, fertile soil. Naturally, the results will be abundant. So the study of Dhamma is important. This Friday, the 26th of December, this Zoom session will also be the last Friday of this year, in which we have continuously studied the Dhamma together. This is merit and wholesome goodness that has been accumulated continuously. Doing something continuously causes it to become deeply embedded in the mind. When we later recollect it, we feel filled and uplifted by goodness. This is joy in the Dhamma. And you have also helped by donating both the necessary equipment for broadcasting and the tools for teaching, which require considerable resources. But all of us have faith and give our support, encouragement, and help in every way. Wat Mapchan would like to rejoice in the merits of all of you who have helped in every aspect, allowing the work of spreading the Dhamma to be beneficial. Even though we may be far apart, it's as if we are close. We're able to listen to the Dhamma and study the Dhamma together. I therefore rejoice in these merits and wish that this wholesome goodness may bring all of you happiness and prosperity throughout the year and from now on throughout the coming year and forevermore. May all dangers and misfortunes be averted. May you encounter goodness, encounter happiness, encounter mindfulness and wisdom. May you have good health and physical strength and achieve success in all aspects. Even if there are obstacles and hindrances, may they be reduced and diminished. May all of you be safe and free from harm. May you grow in blessings.